Let's get into our study this morning. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7. This is Ask the Pastor month, and so I want to address the issue to start off with, why does God allow evil? And that is a question that comes up for so many people, so many atheists, so many different aspects. However you want to ask that question, why does God allow evil? Why does God not stop evil? Why does evil exist in the world? Did God create evil? And so however you want to ask that question, that's what we're going to try to address. And the short answer is this. I really can't answer it because I'm not God. But I can give you what the Bible says, and that's what we're going to do this morning. So when we talk about evil, evil has to deal with what's called theodicy. And theodicy, by definition, is simply this. It's a branch of philosophy dealing with the issue of evil in the light of the existence of God. And so if God is such a just and holy and good God, why does evil and misery and disaster, why do all these things still exist if God is so good? And that's the question that theodicy deals with, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Epicurus, who was a philosopher, a Greek philosopher back in the 3rd or 2nd century B.C., and this is nothing new. Why does God allow evil? This has been going on for thousands of years. And so this is what Epicurus said. He said, is God willing to prevent evil, but he's not able? Then he's not omnipotent, which means he's not all-powerful. Is he able, but he's not willing? Then he's malevolent, which means that he wishes evil on people. And he said, is he both able and willing? Then why is there still evil? And he said, is he neither able nor willing? Then why do you call him God? And there's a lot of people that really deal with that situation. Matter of fact, John MacArthur's been on Larry King Live so many times and so many things. And I was going to show you this, but for lack of time, you can look it up yourself. There was one excerpt from Larry King where he explained why he would not believe in God. Number one, he thought that religion was created because of death. It was a way to fear the afterlife, and so people created religion so that they could scare people into doing what they wanted in this life, because he didn't believe anything happened to you when you died. You just become a worm feast. But here's the reason why he didn't want to believe in the biblical God of the Bible or Judaism or whatever, is because of this very thing. He said, there is so much evil in this world, and if you want to tell me God is a good God, I can't believe that because there's so much evil. That's the reason he didn't want to believe in God. Now, when we talk about anything, I guess for the most part I would say everything points us to God. It all points us to God. Creation points us to God. Romans 1 talks about that. For everybody is without excuse for not knowing a creator God, because creation proves that there's a creator. I don't care if you want to push evolution or anything. It does not matter. Creation shows there's a creator God. And so Psalms 19:1 talks about the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky shows his handiwork. I mean, we see everything in creation. There is a moral law given to everybody on the inside. You know right and wrong, Romans 2:15. So there has to be a moral lawgiver. So you have two things against you when eternity calls upon you. Number one, creation, and number two, the moral law written on your heart. And so we have natural disasters. There's so many earthquakes, there's tsunamis, there's tornadoes, there's hurricanes, there's diseases, there's you name it. There's all kinds of natural disaster. And you say, why is that? Well, Romans 8 tells us that man's sin has affected all of creation. We know that. And that points back to God. Well, what do you mean it points back to God? Well, why didn't God stop it? Well, because man sinned, and that, okay, well, God created man. Why didn't he stop it before he created man? Or why did he create man differently? Right? And these are valid questions, man, and people have these questions. And they're like, well, it's not really man's fault because Adam ate willfully, but Eve ate first. I'll just say I blame it on the woman. It's the woman's fault. And that's what Adam does. Hey, could you imagine standing before a holy, righteous God? And you go back to Genesis and you'll read this. Because Adam says, it's the woman you gave me. Whoa, you're going to blame God? So the woman puts the blame on the serpent and says, well, it's not my fault. That dude deceived me. Okay, so then that points back to God because Satan, right, fell and then he deceived Eve. And then you say, well, why did God create Satan then? Because everything points back to God, right? It all goes back to God. And you find that account back in Genesis 3. They say, why did God create man if he knew they were going to sin and then their creation was going to be affected? Why did God create Satan if he knew he was going to tempt Eve and then she was going to, and then Adam and then to, why did God do all of these things? And so, God is complete within himself. Amen? Father, Son, and Spirit, he needs nothing else. He is complete within himself. And so you wrestle with the question, then why did he create anything? And so let's define our terms. We always got to go to definitions because when we talk about definitions, man, everybody has a different definition for everything. Amen? And so you need to be on the same page when you're talking about stuff. And let me ask you this question. Do you believe evil exists? If you believe evil exists, say amen.
Amen.
All right. I was hoping he was going to say that. I believe evil exists. And unless you're a Christian Science who believes in Mary Baker, Eddy, Edie, blah, blah, blah. Unless you got like nine names. But anyway, she created Christian Science, which says that everything's in your head. You don't have a headache, you just think you do, and there's no evil and all that stuff. And I'm sorry, it makes my head hurt. And yes, it's really hurting. But anyway, evil exists. And you have to ask the question, who's the author of it? And to find all the answers, we go to the scriptures. Because as Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is what?
Truth.
Amen. So if you're there in Isaiah 45, verse 7, let's read that. I'm going to go with the King James version. All right. King James says this. This is God speaking. He says, I form the light, create darkness. I make peace and create evil. The emphasis is mine. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, the New King James and the ESV, they use the word calamity for evil. The NASB says disaster. The NLT says he sends good times and bad times. Now, there's several ways that you can categorize evil. Let me give those to you. Number one, first of all, there is natural evil. There's natural evil in our world. And if you look around, you can see that. Or maybe I'd say there's natural calamity. There's natural disasters, right? And so this natural evil in the world, and anybody just like deny the existence of evil, you'd be a fool to say that there's no natural disasters. We have diseases. We have catastrophes. We have tidal waves. We have tsunamis. We have tiny bacteria. We have from viruses to volcanic eruptions. You have Canadian wildfires. And you could say this. This planet is a dangerous planet to live on. Amen? In his book called The Great Influenza by John Barry, he does a great job of giving the story of the great flu epidemic of over 100 years ago, of 1918. And in 24 months, over 100 million people died. Now, here's the kicker. In his book, he describes that, for the most part, the people that died were between the ages of 20 and 40. The people that are supposed to have the strongest immune systems, right? But in researching it, it was their immune system that actually killed them because it accelerated the virus. That's crazy. That's crazy. Now, for the most part, there was a military base in Kansas, and there was about 25,000 soldiers there. The came from birds into pigs. They ate the pigs, got the virus themselves, and those 25,000 soldiers were shipped around the world during World War I, and it spread the epidemic worldwide. And worldwide, over 100 million people died. And I would just say, what kind of a fast-spreading evil is that? And you would ask the question, this is a very dangerous place to live. Why would God allow that? And this is why Romans 8, and this is what we talk about, in Romans 8, verses 20 through 23, Paul says, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." All of creation, God forced it to have disease, decay, and corruption because of mankind's sin. It went against creation's free will because it didn't want it. But God superseded its free will and forced it into corruption. And then verse 22, he goes on to say, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." Tsunamis, earthquakes, volcanoes, tidal waves, you name it. They have been groaning together in pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies. I want to be clear. Sin, death, disease, decay, and natural disasters are all an effect of man's sin. But Paul says in Romans that creation was put forcibly under corruption. Creation has disasters, but it's not because it wanted to, it's because God forced it to. And so the same thing is for our bodies. It says, and we ourselves, our bodies, we groan inwardly. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4 that this body perishes. Let me tell you something. It is not my free will to have 3 knee replacements within a year and 3 months. If I get one more, me and God's going to go round and round. I'll lose, but man, I'm going to stand up and go toe to toe. But here's the problem. God supersedes our free will. Amen? You've got to wrestle with that because it's the truth. Now, I say that because there is natural evil that God forced. There is moral evil. This number two, there is moral evil. This is personal. Natural evil is because of man's sin that God put on creation. Death, disease, corruption, decay, natural disasters, natural evil. Second is moral evil. Moral evil is personal. It's internal. It's spiritual. It's wickedness. Sin. It's transgression. However you want to say that. And that is all because of the depravity of man. Man is depraved from birth. We are sinners from birth. Amen? In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the New King James says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it?" In Romans chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says, "Everybody is turned aside. They've altogether become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one." And we as immoral sinners were trying to survive in a fallen world, in a created world that is corrupt, in a world that has decay and death and disease and all kinds of evil. And we are colliding sinful man with sinful man. We're colliding one with another in malfunctioning marriages, families, friendships, rivalries, adulteries, murders, greed, and the list goes on and on, and that causes wars. And it's just as a result to prove that there is moral evil in this world. Amen? You have natural evil, you have moral evil, and there is supernatural evil. There is a force of demonic beings in the spiritual realm around us that's as old as creation, and they're evil spirits. They're liars. They're deceivers. And John says in 1 John 5:19, we know that we're from God, but the whole world lies under the control, under the power of the evil one. They're under his control. Satan is the leader of this world and this wicked evil system. We know that evil exists. And I would say we know that God exists. I won't get into the evidence for God's existence. We need to move forward from that. People say if evil exists in the world, then how can God, who's a good God, allow evil? And so that just proves that there's no God. And that's not a contest. You can't say because there's evil in the world, there's no good God. It'd be like saying this. Do you believe there's dentists? Do dentists exist? Yeah? Well, why is there cavities in the world? For so many dentists in the world, why is there cavities? There shouldn't be any cavities. You got so many dentists. That's stupid. It's dumb. It doesn't make the case. And so we know God exists. We know evil exists. And I won't get into the evidence of that. But I do want to go, I want to move forward with this. God is sovereignly in control. And this is where people have a lot of problem with. You have to wrestle, first of all, that God's in control of everything. That's what sovereign means. The definition of sovereign means that God is absolutely in control of absolutely everything. Amen? He controls absolutely everything. And this is why people struggle mostly. Because he, throughout the history of mankind, has governed every minor detail. There's not, I heard somebody say it this way, there's not one molecule in the universe that is out of line with God's purposes. And I don't want to get into every one of these verses, but I do want to point out some things. I don't want to really address some of these issues, but hopefully it will answer this at the end. But let me give you some of these verses that talk about the sovereignty of God. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, it says that all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And God does according to God's will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? God's in control of everything, and he can do what he wants with this world. Amen? Why is it when you create something or you buy something and it's yours, you get mad when people try to tell you what to do with what's yours? But when God creates the universe and the world and everything in it, and he does what he wants, everybody gets mad at God. Deuteronomy 32:39. Moses wrote, "See now that I am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand." What God wills, God does. And nobody can stop it. Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute, deaf, seeing, blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" Wait a minute. Are you telling me God makes people mute, deaf, dumb, blind, and seeing? Yes, he does. Why would he do that? Well, you go to the New Testament and you'll find out. There was a man born blind from birth. And they said, "Well, who sinned, him or his parents?" And what did Jesus respond? Neither. So that God got the glory, this man was born blind. What? God's getting the glory in evil? God can use anything he wants for his purposes. He's God. Doesn't mean he created it, but he can use anything that he wants. He uses Satan all the time. The Old Testament, you see all the times that God used Satan to do his will. Next one, Psalm 105:16. When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, God caused a famine and people starved. 2 Kings 17:25. And at the beginning of their dwelling, they did not fear the Lord. And because they did not fear the Lord, God sent lions among them and killed some of them. 1 Samuel 2:6-7. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and he raises up. The Lord makes poor and he makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. Well, why am I poor and this guy over here is rich? I don't know. Take it up with God, because he makes the rich and he makes the poor. I don't know his purposes and I don't know the end from the beginning. Only God does. But I know he's in control. That's why I trust him. Amos chapter 3, verse 6. Does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? Everything that comes to a city, God has allowed. And so they say, well, it's God's fault then. God is sovereign. That's what I'm trying to point out. God is absolutely sovereignly in control of all things. You can't get around that fact. God is sovereign over his creation and absolutely every detail. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15, it says, he who is blessed and the only sovereign, I think the King James says potentate. That's an old King James word. He who is blessed and the only potentate. It just means sovereign. He is the only being in this universe that is in control. That is why he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen? Now, at the end of the day, you have to answer this question, and I hope you answer it correctly. Does evil control God, or does God control evil? Now, the question then becomes, where does evil come from? Back to Isaiah 45:7. He says, I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, I create evil. I create evil. I, the Lord, do these things. And what happens is this. And this is why I'm so adamant about you understanding from the original, not your translation. From the Hebrew and the Greek into English, you lose so much in the translation. That's why it's so important for you to go back to the original. And what happens is that an atheist who knows more about the scriptures than we do will come at you and will say this, is God's word absolutely 100% true? Yeah, it is. Okay, well, so what God says is what goes, and you can't go against God's word, right? Yeah, that's right. Okay, did God create evil? No. Okay, well, your Bible says God created evil. Well, that's not what it's saying. Also, you're saying God's a liar. Well, no, God can't lie. Well, his word says he created evil. And so you get this round and round circular argument from them, and all they do is pick one verse out, take one word out, and all they're doing is taking a translation, which, as I pointed out before, it doesn't mean that that word translated into English is evil. It doesn't mean that it doesn't mean calamity, disaster. It doesn't mean that it's, you know, bad things happen. It can mean all those things. That's why those words have 20 different meanings, and they take one out. What is evil? Moral evil? Talking about supernatural evil? You talking about natural evil? Which evil are you talking about? That's why you have to define your terms. It's important for you to do those things. And so this is what we're talking about. So in any case, let me tell you this. God did not create evil. I'll tell you that. In Genesis 1, verse 31, it says, God saw everything that he created, and behold, it was very what? Evil is not good. Amen? At this moment in history, everything God created was very good. That included angels, that included man, that included creation, everything. This was before corruption. This is before death and disease. This is before Satan fell. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, John says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In James chapter 1, verse 13, it says, let nobody say that when they are tempted that I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, nor does he tempt anyone with evil. But nonetheless, evil exists. Evil does not originate from God. It comes from his fallen creation. Does that make sense? What did Satan do? He sinned and he took a third of the angels with him. Then he corrupted man. What did Eve do? She sinned. What did Adam do? He willfully sinned. And he was our representative. And here's the thing. Well, why didn't God create somebody else? Well, if I was there, no. And this is the whole point of Romans. If you were there, you'd have done the same thing. If I was there, you'd be reading in your Bible that Dan and Eve. Not Adam, it'd be Dan and Eve. Because I'd have done the same doggone thing. That's the whole point. So it's sinful creation. That's why he is our representative. That's why we are sinners as a result of it. And if any one of us were there, we'd have done the same thing. And so, and because of Satan's sin, Adam's sin, creation was affected, everything. Matter of fact, scientists even know that the universe is winding down. Sun is burning out. Stars are burning out. Everything is coming to an end. It's all according to God's purposes. God did not create evil. It is the result of sin. And that's why nobody is good. There is no cold. Do you believe there's cold? I believe there's cold. You go in the wintertime, man. Yeah, it's colder than a well. Anyway, it gets cold. It gets cold. But here's the point. There really isn't cold in all actuality. It's the absence of heat. There is no such thing as darkness. It's the absence of light. And so when you talk about evil, evil is not really evil. It's just the absence of perfection, which is good. And when you think of things that are good, I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about God. Because God is the only one that is good. So when you say good, you should think of God. And that's what Jesus says in Luke 18, verse 18 through 18 or 19. This ruler come and asked Jesus and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus responds by this, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." There's your standard of perfection. God. God is good. So outside of God being good, anything less than that is evil. Do you get that? Well, there's good in the world. You can do good in the world. And I know God's a perfect, holy, righteous God, and he's the only one that's good. But we can do good. Yeah, you can do good, but you're not inherently good. Jesus even said in Matthew 7:11, he says this, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children." Even evil creatures can do good to others. Amen? That's not the point. The point is we are inherently not good. From conception, David said in Psalm 51, "In sin I was conceived." Wow, sin. Oh. Look, God is the only illustration of perfection. And anything outside of that is imperfect, which is evil. It's just a term we use to describe it. And so Satan sinned. He brought about supernatural evil. And there's a spiritual war going on in the spiritual realm, in the heavenlies, as Paul says. Man sinned, brought in moral evil, and not only that, the earth was affected by it, and he brought over natural evil as well. And then the question becomes, why doesn't God eliminate it? Well, as I said, everything points to God, right? Creation points to God, moral laws point to God, evil points back to God. But here's the thing, and pay attention to this, in Romans chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, Paul says, "But if our unrighteousness serves to show the righteousness of God." Matter of fact, the King James says that our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God. What shall we say? That God is unrighteous to inflict wrath on us? He said, I'm speaking in a human way, but by no means. For then how could God judge the world? God judges the world in his own perfection. Our sinfulness, our depravity, our rebellion puts the righteousness of God on display. And that reality, because of our sinfulness, because of the world's corruption, because of death, decay, and disease, because of all that unrighteousness, it puts God's righteousness on the display and it points us to the cross. Do you understand that? Everything that God allows to happen points us to the cross. This is not something new. God designed this. Matter of fact, you go to Ephesians 1, you'll find this. God said before he created time, space, and material, he ordained that his son would die for his creation. Do you get that? God had a plan before he even created anything. Why did he create man? For his glory. That's right. And everything points back to God. But everything points to the cross. What was on display on the cross was the righteousness of God, which necessitated him pouring out his wrath, his eternal wrath, on one person, his son. Do you know an innocent man was put to death when Jesus was on the cross? They knew he was innocent. They knew he didn't do it. They just hated him, and they put him to death anyway. An innocent man to die. How evil is that? But how about this? Isaiah tells us, I believe it's Isaiah 52. You have to do your research. But it says, God took pleasure in putting his son to death. What? How evil is that? It's beautiful. Because he knew in my fallen condition, I could not do it on my own. And he knew that his son was the only perfect sacrifice that could do it for me. And the evil, death, and decay that's in the world points us directly to the cross. That is so wonderful. Stop and think about this. There would be no Christ on a cross if there was no sin. Think about it. There would be no Christ on Calvary's cross if there was no sin. So in order to demonstrate the righteousness of God, he had to allow sin. That's what gives him glory. Sin has consequences, which brought about evil. We reap what we sow. Amen? John MacArthur said this. It is helpful, I think, to understand that sin is not itself a thing that is created. He said, sin is neither substance, being, it's not spirit, it's not matter. So it's technically not proper to think of sin as something that was created. Sin is simply a lack of moral perfection in a fallen creation. Fallen creatures themselves bear full responsibility for their sin. And all the evil in the universe, it emanates from the sins of fallen creatures. Evil is not God's fault. It's our own. Amen? Let me finish with this, bring this to a close. Job is the greatest example I can give you. Read the book of Job. It's amazing. But in Job chapter 1, Satan goes before God and says, if you take your hand away from Job, he'll curse you. And do you know what God says? Do whatever you want, Satan. Just don't take his life. You do whatever you want, but don't take his life. And you know what Satan does? Kills all of his servants, except the ones that bring him report back. Takes all of his livestock away. They're stolen. Kills his sons and daughters. Takes away his health. And his wife sees that and says, why don't you just curse God and die? So then the rest of Job, he's sitting around the campfire with his so-called buddies. And they're talking about why this evil has fallen upon Job. And his buddies say, because you've sinned. And he says, I have not. You have to, because evil can't befall you unless you've sinned. And he goes, I've not sinned. I haven't. I don't know why this has come up. And he goes, man, I wish God was here right now to answer my question. Why did he allow this to happen to me? I have not sinned. And chapter 38, God shows up. He shows up in a big way. And he says, stand up and give an account, man. You stand up and give an account. You want to question me? Can you give me counsel? And this is beauty if you ever read that. He goes through these chapters and he says, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Where were you when I made its cornerstone? Who told the ocean how far to come and where to stop? Can you bind the chains of Pleiades, the constellations? Can you take Orion's belt and unloose it? Chapter 39, he goes into the animals about the mountain goats and when they give birth and where they're migrating and when they do this and when that. Can you do anything about that? In chapter 40 and 41, he goes on and on and on. And then he talks about behemoth. He goes, can you tame behemoth? Can you go down into the bottom of the ocean and tame Leviathan? And it's funny because God never answers his question. He asks more questions. And this is Job's result. Job says in Job 42, verse 5 and 6, the NLT puts it this way. He said, I'd only heard about you, God, but now I see you with my own eyes. He's like, I take back everything I said. I sit in dust and ashes, and I show my repentance. I'm nothing. That's what Isaiah, I believe, 46 says. Why did the thing that was formed say to the thing that formed it, why have you made me like this? Can the pot say to the potter, why did you make me this way? Listen, let God be God and worship him for the sovereign potentate that he is. The world says we need to fix the world. We need to get rid of evil. We need to do this. But guess what? Satan's in charge of the world. We don't need to fix it. We need to evangelize it. This world don't need fix. It needs Jesus. He is the only hope for the moral evil, supernatural evil, and the natural evil that's in this world. We forget that everything points back to God. If you remember the story in Mark 5, I believe, the demon-possessed men at Gadara. And as soon as the legion of demons Jesus cast out and put into the swine, he said, I want to go with you. Let me get in the boat. I want to go with you, Jesus. And Jesus said, no. I need you to go back into the city and tell those people how the Lord has had compassion on you. God did not create evil. He's trying to stop it. And the only way we stop it is through Jesus Christ, his son. Can I tell you something? If every person on this earth accepted Jesus Christ and we were all filled with the Spirit, this world would be a perfect world. Amen? You want to change the world? Then you go out and give it Jesus. That's the whole reason that God said, I'm not going to change the world. I died for it. I died so that you could be a part of an eternal kingdom that's perfect. And because of sin, I have to deal with it. That's why the earth is going to be burned with fervent heat. Amen. That's what Peter says. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, he says that the whole world is passing away. But whoever does the will of God will abide forever. Look, somebody said you need to defend a lion. I would say no. A lion is strong enough to defend itself. Amen. I just need to open the cage. God does not need help defending. People need help in their understanding. Proverbs 19:3 says this. People ruin their lives by their own talk gone foolishness, and then they get mad at God like it's his fault. Job 1:21, this should be our response. It's like, when everything happened to him, and his wife said, curse God and die. He simply said, naked I come into this world. Naked I'm leaving this world. The Lord gave. The Lord took away. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. I don't understand why things happen. I don't understand his sovereign plan. He's the sovereign God, not me. But at the end of the day, God is still God. God is still good. And I've told you this and I'll tell you again. To God be the glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for being a God that understands, that helps, that heals. And sometimes when you don't heal, sometimes when you don't help, sometimes when disaster comes, we know that you allow it. But it's all got a purpose and a plan. You have an eternal plan. You know the end from the beginning, and you're working out your plan throughout human history. We don't understand it. We don't see it. I don't know why these things happen, but you do. And so, God, we just trust you for being the God who you are. You're a sovereign God. I know that you're good. At the end of the day, I just trust you. Lord, and I pray that if there's someone here today that has not put their trust in your son, Jesus Christ, let today be the day. You have not created evil. You have given the answer for it. And that's in your son, Jesus Christ. knowing that evil is a consequence and evil will continue in this world until you deal with it in a final sense, until you come back and you purify the earth by fire and you give us a new body when no evil will exist ever again in this universe. And God, I pray that it's only those people that are part of your kingdom, only those people that have accepted what your son did on the cross of Calvary. It all points back to the cross. You are a good God, and you demonstrated that. While we were yet sinners, your son died for us. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that needs your son, let him come forward. Father, for your church, we don't have all the answers, but what you've revealed to us, we can trust in, because we know you'd never lie to us. Lord, we just give you this invitation, and we pray that you'd have your way, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.